the food is prepared for dhikr before Fajr Salah. So the dhikrullah is something that is very important in our lives. Dhikrullah, by us making a dhikr with the tongue, and obviously while we're making the dhikr, we are thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the hope is that this remains with us the whole day. The thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can I just come a bit closer? So this dhikr is like vitamins. Person takes his supplements, takes his vitamins, and this helps him to pull through the day. So our dhikrullah, this is the hope that if we make our dhikr with the proper concentration, the proper mindset, then this helps us throughout the day. Throughout the day, now if we are faced with some pretty face that we're not supposed to be looking at, or some haram deal or some haram substance or whatever it may be, somebody made us angry, so then we think that Allah Ta'ala is watching. So the dhikr is not just like a customary thing that we just make some dhikrullah and that's it for the day. But it has an objective. That by making dhikrullah, we are always conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this helps us to stay away from sin and to remain in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then obviously dhikrullah generates a noor within. The kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person was in a condition of kufr for 40, 50, 60 years of his life, and he reads this kalima once with sincerity, it wipes out his 40, 50 years of kufr. Wipes it out in one instant. And now the person is a mu'min. So imagine what effect it's having on the heart of a believer. A person who is already a mu'min, and now he is reciting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Allah, 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 taking Allah Ta'ala's name. So what effect it's having within him? How much of nur it's generating in his heart? So we must make dhikrullah all the time. Now many a time people feel that the dhikrullah, this is only for these people in the tasawwuf. Dhikrullah is for them, those who are part of tazkiyah, and must have a sheikh to make dhikr. And there's no such thing. Dhikrullah is for everybody. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in the ahadith to make dhikr. In the days of the old days, people were making so much of dhikr. Sometime in one day, the person is reading 200,000 of this and 150,000 of that. So for that, he needed some permission, because not everybody can manage that. But the normal dhikr, like the person goes in out in Jamaat, they say read third kalima, istighfar, durood sharif, that all of us should be making. And then we must have Quran sharif in our lives. Be reading Quran sharif daily. We must have the stipulated amount. Whatever we can manage, those who are kuffars, they should be reading much more. Non-kuffars read less. A person who's a recital, maybe he reads very slow, but he must allocate the time for himself. That book, every day I'm going to make tilawat of Quran for 15 minutes, or for 10 minutes, or 20 minutes, whatever time he has at his disposal, he should stipulate that and then ensure that it gets done. The other thing is that with regards to this tazkiyah, the tasawwuf, these mashayikh that come, people take bay'ah, etc. So the whole object of this whole thing is what? There is no hocus pocus for it. The object of this whole thing is to become obedient to Allah Ta'ala and follow the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Any person who comes around and he is propagating anything other than that, then he is off the track. It's not about seeing some extraordinary things and having some funny feelings and worrying about what this terminology means and that terminology means. It's a simple thing that my life must come in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's a simple thing. That's what this whole tazkiyah is about. My heart must get cleansed. I must develop the love of Allah Ta'ala and I must become Allah's. That's all. Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu. Okay, so we just tie it up when we just arrived on Jum'ah. So after Asr we had a program in Masjid Zakariya. So it was mentioned there that on one occasion Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a khutbah. I don't know if anybody wants to make amal upon this today. But he delivered a khutbah. He started after Fajr Salah. And he continued right until Zuhr Salah. He stopped at Zuhr time, performed Zuhr Salah. And after Zuhr, he went back onto the mimbar. And he continued with the khutbah until Asr Salah. Asr Salah, he took a break, read namaz. After Salah, he went back on the mimbar and continued until Maghrib. So, anybody ready for this? Maulana Musa is ready to deliver the khutbah. And you know who's ready to sit? So, the entire day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and what he was educating them on is the fitan, the different trials that are going to come. The ummah is going to be faced with different trials before Qiyamah. So one is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educated the ummah on all these trials, Dajjal, and the different things that are going to happen before Qiyamah. Then on the other hand, now for us to learn all those fitnas, right, and be able to now protect ourselves from each one individually, when are we going to study all of that? So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us simple prescriptions to just protect ourselves from everything. So in this hadith sharif of Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a simple prescription. It includes three things. And if we practice on this, then we will be protected from whatever fitna may come. So the first thing Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Amlik alayka risalat. Take control of your tongue. In other words, watch what we speak. Watch what we speak. Our tongue is what gets us in trouble. And in today's times, I am telling you, loyalty is something that you find in the maqbara. The only people that won't tell your secret to anyone is those in the maqbara. Otherwise, if you don't want anyone to know what you're speaking, don't speak it. Don't even mention it to your shadow. Because there's no loyalty to it. You will go to someone in good faith, tell him something, you just want to get it off your chest, you want to confide in the person. You'll be telling him, he'll go to someone else, tell you something, but you don't mention it to anybody. And he mentioned to someone else, tell you, and you don't mention it to anyone. And before you know it, everybody knows it and nobody is mentioning it to anybody. Everybody knows. The other thing is that there's hardly any sincere friend today. So rather, speak to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the one who loves us. He is there to take care of us, sort out our problems, whatever. Speak to Allah. So take control of this tongue. You go home, your wife tells you something. Why must I retaliate in a bad way? She's saying something. Now why must I be vulgar? Just hold this tongue. Hold it back. You have an issue at work. Person infuriated you, a staff member, fellow working, whatever. Hold the tongue. That's all. And today the tongue is also the thumb. The tongue and the thumb. They both work together. Because a lot of our talking now is done with the thumbs. So we've got to watch the thumbs also. Don't just press and forward them. So this is a very important thing. We're not even going into the subject matter of protecting the tongue from haram, speaking lies, ribat, vulgarity. In every aspect, hold the tongue. I don't have to have my say in everything. I don't have to give an opinion about everything. I can just stay quiet. Man samata naja. The person who is quiet, he is successful. Today you get yourself in trouble for free. Somebody comes to tell you something and you just think, yeah. You don't agree with him, you're just hearing him out. He goes to someone, yeah, I spoke to Morana about it. He also agrees with me. They're wrong. You've got to be so careful today, so careful. The less people you meet, the less people you know, the smaller your social circle, the more time you got for Allah Ta'ala. So, amlik alayka lisanat. The second thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, wal yasa'ka baytuk. Let your house be enough for you. In other words, remain within your home. This lifestyle, this mindset, that I want to be out there. I must just take a drive. Saturday night now, I must go and check what's happening in this district, that district, this district. I have to be out there all the time. There's no need for it. The more we go out, the more vulnerable we are to fitna. We are exposed more to fitna the more we go out. Now, we're not talking about going out for dini reasons. Otherwise, just now they take away this because the visa going out for 4 months. What are you going out for? We're talking about going out unnecessarily. Otherwise, a person has to leave home to go to work. People have to leave home to go to the masjid. You've got to leave home to go for some dini program. You've got to leave home to go and visit family. Somebody passed on, you've got to go and visit their house. There's different reasons you will come out. But you're coming out on a mission. You're going shopping, you're not going window shopping. You got a list, I need to do X, Y, Z. You go and do that, and you return home. It's not now, I need a shoe, but I'm now in the toy shop. I need to buy groceries, but I'm in the clothing shop. I got a jacket. Why am I looking at these jackets? I already got a jacket. I don't need one. It's not on my list. So why am I browsing? Why am I looking at these things? That's when I get caught up. Then I end up spending money I don't have to buy things I don't need, to please people I don't like. So, somebody mentioned this saying years ago, I heard it in one bayan. So you spend money you don't have, to buy things you don't need, to impress people you don't like. So we end up just wasting, squandering. We've got to be very, very careful, and rather remain within the confines of our home. Spend quality time with your family. Spend quality time with your children. Spend quality time with Allah Ta'ala. Go to sleep on time. After Isha, if you're not engaged in any deeni activity, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was discouraged having discussions and talking and all of that after Isha. Get to bed. Because if you get to bed early, now you can wake up for tahajjud salah. You can make dua, you can make dhikrullah. But now you go to sleep late, now sometime even the fajr salah is going. So, rather let our home be sufficient for us. There's no need to be running around. No need to be. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were outside what we will call the pavement. You know? So they were there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them and he told them, look, abstain from this. Don't stay outside. Don't stand outside. So they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, now must remember their homes were very small. They lived in 2x2 homes, one room was everything. So they said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometime we need to discuss something, we need to say something. So we have to meet outside here. We've got no other place to meet. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that if you're saying now you have to stand here, then fulfill the right of the road. And now don't be noisy. Right? If somebody goes past, they make salam, make sure you reply to their salam. Somebody is lost, they need directions, make sure you give them the directions. And protect your keys. Because everything is going to go past outside. Protect your eyes. Now if you're in your house, now, before it used to be said, if you're in your house, you will be protected from fitan. Nowadays when the ulama explain this hadith, there's extra explanation. They say that you can be within your home, but if you got that hell phone with you, then you are everywhere. You can be in your house, but you are now surfing, even though you're not on the ocean, but you're surfing. And forget the great whites that may be in the water. There's worse things here on this phone. The great whites in the water, you'll get one attack, few and far apart. And very few are fatal. In fact, they say that humans are not on a shark's diet. Human meat is not healthy for the shark. So most of the time, he just takes a taster. Takes a taster, he analyzes it and says, I don't want this. And he swims off, he's looking for a seal. But at times it can be fatal. But that's very, very rare. But we are concerned about that. There's so much of technology put into, so much of studies. What causes a shark attack? Does a surfer now look like a seal? Are there certain colors that the shark is attracted to? Are there certain smells that the shark is attracted to? So much of studies, then I must be saved from a shark attack. But these attacks by shaitan on the phone, there is more and more technology put into exposing us to those attacks. Even you don't want to, you don't want to see anything. You're opening your phone for some good reason. You're researching something. You're looking for a car, for example. You're looking for a car. So you open some site to check up now what's available, this motor dealer, that motor dealer. Something pops up there on the screen. You don't want that. Some advertisement will come. And they're so sly that now you don't know how to get rid of this thing from your screen. On the one side, you got one circle. You're trying to find the X. You don't know where is this X now. So you see the eye. The eye is like a Dajjal eye. So you say, okay, let me press this. Maybe this thing will move away. You press that, you've gone worse. Now another five things open up now. And if the nafs is weak, so all right, let's just sample. Let's see what is this thing about. And before you know it, you are gone. And even if the nafs is strong, right, even if the nafs is strong, but you saw that thing. That lady's face came there. That woman in her costume came there. Right? Now you go to read Salah. At that moment, you didn't take anything from it. Stop the Lord's system. First, move on, close the screen, whatever. Now you come to read Salah. Now Shaitan comes with a mirror in front of you. All those pictures now. Then you say, no, I'm just playing a game, Candy Crush. Playing Candy Crush, or I'm playing some silly game. No, I'm just playing games. I don't go on watching haram sites and all that. I'm just playing games. Then games come in your salah also. And you know, one lady told me, she said that I read novels on the phone. I read novels. So she said, if I have to be honest, all my irritation with my kids, my irritation with my husband, right, my lack of looking after the house is because of this novels. You see, I read this thing, I get caught up with it. Now, simple things, my husband may have told me to do something, or, you know, I need to tidy up or whatever. Now, when he comes home, it's not done. So he must just ask, you don't put this away. So now, to defend myself, I must come down very hard. What do you think? I'm just sitting here the whole day, you know, how much of work we got and the kids and this and that. But she's telling me, Maulana, if I be honest, it's nothing like that. It's this novel that I'm caught up. Now, she was honest enough to say, but how many of us are caught up with how many things? Just surfing. Some people think we're reading news. I'm just reading news. How much of news do we need to read? And they're lying to us. It's lies. We're reading lies, and we're reading more and more lies and carrying on. So one is to remain within the home, and one is to cut off from what's happening around. We can be in the house, but we're watching reels, we're watching shorts, or we're watching longs, or whatever. Right? So then we're not at home. We are still exposed to all the fitna. Right? And the third thing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is wabki ala khatiyati. Cry over your sins. Cry over your sins. In other words, we can protect our tongue also. We can stay within the home also. But inevitably, we are going to sin. We will commit some sin or the other. So when that happens, cry over our sins. Cry to Allah Ta'ala. Ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. There is one Urdu couplet. Meri har khata pe rona. Yahi hai meri talafi. To cry over every sin of mine. This is my only way out. Meri har khata pe rona. Yahi hai meri talafi. The only way out is to cry over my sins. There's no way that I am going to become sinless. We are not masoom. The Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, they are sinless. We will sin. No matter how much we try, we will sin. In fact, there is one hadith sharif. is a hadith that could see, if it were that this insan was not going to sin and ask me for forgiveness so that I forgive them, then I would create another creation that will sin and ask me for forgiveness so that I must forgive them. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafir. Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor. Allah Ta'ala is Ghaffar. For whom? For whom? There is a reason for it. Because we are going to sin. Something that Allah Ta'ala loves to do is to forgive the sin of the sinner. And no matter what you do, I will forgive you. You must remember, the devil challenges Allah Ta'ala. The devil is saying, I'm going to take all your servants to Jahannam. And you won't find them to be grateful to you. The devil is saying this. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you do not have authority over my servants. But Allah knows, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We are created weak because we got a nafs. We will fall prey to that nafs. So Allah Ta'ala has kept forgiveness. That this shaitan, let him do whatever he wants to do. You just come to me, cry. Be sincere. Make some effort. I'll forgive you. If 100 times we slip up, 100 times turn to Allah Ta'ala. That's the only route we got. Turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is there to forgive us. Why must we exhaust Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness? No. I did too many times now. I don't think there's any. No. Why must we exhaust Allah's forgiveness? Allah is saying, you turn to me, I'll forgive you. Now why we say, no, Allah Pak don't have no more forgiveness now? No. Allah is saying, you turn to me. No matter how many times, whatever you do, you come to me, I will forgive you. You know, it is mentioned with regards to Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Now some say Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he was an oppressive person. Allah knows best. His condition is with Allah Ta'ala. Allah knows best. But if it was like that, that he was very oppressive in whatever he did, so it is mentioned with regards to him that when he was passing away, so he said to Allah, he said, oh Allah, if you forgive me, then it will really be a manifestation of your sifat of forgiveness. Even he had hope in Allah Ta'ala. We conclude on this. There was one person, he lived a very shameful life. Committed many sins, did everything. So now he is in his old age and is not well and he feels like, you know, I don't have too much time left in the world. So he calls his sons and he says to them that, see, when I pass on, I want you all to burn me. Not this Hindu cremations and all that. He's telling them, see, I want you to burn me. Make sure there's nothing left of me. Burn my whole body. It must become ashes. And then take these ashes, half of it throw it in the ocean. And half of it scatter it in different parts of the earth. Don't throw it all in one place. Scatter it different places. So, after some time he passed on. Now the sons, they're discussing, they say, now, you know, our father made this request. Is it something that we must fulfill or what must we do? He said, well, father said must do it, now we rather just do it, you know. But he mustn't do it. But now the father foolishly, he made that request of theirs, of his to them. So they said, all right, now we must fulfill it. So they fulfilled this. They burnt him and they took half the ash, they threw in the ocean. half the ash they threw. This is not a hocus pocus story. This is mentioned in Sahih. Sahih Waram Kareem is Sahih. So they threw the half the ashes in the ocean, half the ashes they threw on the earth. So this person, when his soul was presented to Allah Ta'ala, so Allah Ta'ala questioned him, why did you do something like this? Why did you tell your children to do this? So his reply to Allah Ta'ala was, oh Allah, in my ignorance, I thought that this, I'm giving you an explanation, right? In my ignorance, I thought that if this is done to me, then I won't be brought back to life to stand in front of you and give an account of my deeds. So I did this out of fear for you. I was afraid that how am I going to stand in front of you and give an account of my deeds? Now a person like that did such a thing, for him also, Allah Ta'ala said, you are forgiven. And if you feared me, that's why you did it, I forgive. Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is something, it's beyond us. So we must just keep on asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Never ever lose hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give Ameen. You tawfiq.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala reward you all for being part of the program, attending. And Allah Ta'ala reward Morana and all the others for all the khidmat. Allah Ta'ala accept it. Allah Ta'ala be pleased.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala make it a turning point in our lives, in terms of our hidayat. Jamaat that is here, they are leaving for 4 months. Allah Ta'ala accept them.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala make them bring out a means of hidayat for entire mankind. Allah Ta'ala bless us all with His love and the love of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us all with akhlaqi hamida, praiseworthy qualities, and remove from us the razaid, all the evil qualities. Allah Ta'ala remove it from us. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته